Welcome to the Soulish Podcast. My name is Whitney Apke and I'm your host. On the Soulish Podcast, we talk all about the soul journey and the body, soul, spirit connection. And I have the privilege and the honor of sharing with you my journey, as well as having amazing guests, amazing people that are practitioners, creatives, mentors in the space, influencers, people that are doing the work themselves and also have a heart to serve others. That's kind of the prerequisite for my guests here on the Soulish Podcast. But we talk all about just every single part of the soul journey, and because there's so many parts to it and we all have different experiences and different expressions. And that's what I love. I love just bringing that in and bringing those conversations to you, those thoughts to you, those perceptions to you and perspectives, and just really gleaning from them. It's been one of my favorite things about this episode, is just being so open to hearing different perspectives and different lives and different journeys and honoring that. And I just feel like every journey is sacred. So whether or not you come from a religious background, spiritual background, agnostic, atheist background, it doesn't matter. This is really a podcast that honors all journeys as sacred and just shares openly. And that's one of my favorite things. So today's episode is just with me. You get to hang out with me for a little bit. I had something come up that I wanted to share with you guys in regards to how we receive guidance. I think a lot of, in the spiritual community, I hear a lot of questions of like, is this how you do? Is this how you see, hear, you know, intuit? And oftentimes it can be hard to decipher, like, was that something that came from me or is that outside coming in? And so I just wanted to break that down and just share with you what I think and some like little wisdom tips for you as far as like how to kind of test something to see if it actually was just something that is just data dump, you know, from your mind, or was that really truly a psychic intuitive dream or thought or memory, past life memory coming to surface, and just how to navigate that and how to integrate that into your life. Like, how does that change the decisions that you make and the choices that you make and all of that, and how that influences you? So let's get into it. I have always felt very connected to Holy Spirit, Spirit, God, Source, Universe, whichever you align with. From a young age, I always felt very close to Holy Spirit, very close to that guidance system. And I would actually take my Bible and I would kind of honestly do like a roulette, you know, kind of thing where I would just thumb through it, right? And when I felt like I should stop, I would stop. And then I'd open the page and then I'd close my eyes and then I'd put my finger down on the page and I'd rub it over until I felt like I was supposed to stop. And then I'd stop, peek, and see if the verse or the verse around it had anything to do with the question that I had or the guidance I was asking for, the clarity I was asking for. And so I do that. Now I kind of more so do that with tarot or oracle cards and also just my intuition itself. I'll ask for guidance. But it's funny that like I would do that. Nobody kind of taught me to do that. That was just something I started doing. And I often would also wake up at certain hours of the night, and I would wake up and see my clock and see 5:14. And so sometimes I'd go to the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, and I'd go to chapter 14, and then maybe I'd skim down or I'd kind of read that chapter and see what was it about. And I would kind of just look, you know, and sometimes it would be like super on, or like a concept from that would end up manifesting in my life. And that was like my heads up. So I'd have that, but then I also really uniquely, and anyone who is a friend with me or family for sure, my immediate family for sure, knows that tornado dreams are always a very significant thing for me, a significant marker, and always mean something. I'm not sure why tornadoes, but it always was kind of like the tower card, like destruction, but rebuilding, sudden change, turmoil, that kind of thing, a breaking down to build up, you know, those types of concepts. And I would always have some sort of like premonitional dream that had to do with tornadoes. But I've also had other dreams that were just kind of very telling of like how I was feeling, what was happening. And it would give me like kind of a more of a spiritual insight into what I was kind of coming up against energetically, spiritually. In Christianity, I grew up in like a spirit-filled, charismatic type Christianity. So we were more spiritual on the spiritual side of religion growing up. So we spoke in tongues, like light language is what the spiritual community calls it. We worked with angels, you know, guides, same thing. And I remember one dream that I had where I was running down this dirt road. And all of a sudden I hear that something is chasing me. So I look behind me and it's like this half dog, half lion thing. It had like the face of a dog, like a greyhoundish kind of thing, but more snarly. And a bit of like a half a mane. And then its body was like purely lion and it was huge and it was chasing me. So of course I picked up my pace and started panicking. And all of a sudden my youth pastor, he drove a red Dodge Durango, kind of fire hydrant red. So he actually out of nowhere swung up beside me and basically was like, get in. And so I basically was, the whole dream was trying to get in the car. And then I think I'm in the car and I'm safe. And when I close the door, the window's down. So then this dog lion thing is trying to get into the car and he's snapping at me and I'm just freaking out, trying to roll up the window in time. And the dream literally kind of ended in that panic place. So I remember telling my dad the dream and my dad was like, interesting, dog, that's God backwards. So this is something that is the opposite of God, right? It's coming from a place of fear. What is the opposite of love? Fear. And so he's like, what are you afraid of? And so we kind of broke that down together, which was really cool. But I've had different things happen like that. Dreams, I usually operate in dreams. In college, I had this crazy, like, I don't think I've ever had something so premonitionary, if that's a word. Premonitory? Is that the other word? Sorry, y'all, blonde. I should thumb through a dictionary to make sure I know I'm speaking English. But I had this dream and I was in ministry school at the time, my final year of ministry school to become a pastor. And I had this dream the night before. I knew a project was due and we were going to present in front of the class. And I chose not to do it for multiple reasons, because it was unethical in my opinion. And the teacher was a complete asshole. So I was like, he's just doing this to be a dickhead. And I don't consent. I unsubscribe from you. So I just was like, I did what I could of the project, but I didn't complete it the way that he wanted, because it just was unethical in my opinion. And I had this dream where literally I get called on, like a couple students who did do it, which was only five, got brought up to the front of the class. And then one of the students who was a boy, ended up calling on me for me to say and give the reason why I didn't complete it. And I woke up, and in the dream, I exploded. I freaked out. I had, you know, like a reaction to being called out and to being put on blast and made fun of, belittled in the class, which is, you know, in the dream, the teacher was that kind of teacher where he would just shame you to no end and leave really nothing about you that could be picked on. It was extremely unsafe environment and not healthy and not okay. And I was barely making it, to be honest, through that year. And so I told my mom about the dream. And I was like, Mom, I'm really nervous going into class today because I had this dream and it was too real. And I just feel like this is going to happen. And she was like, well, God gave you that dream for a reason. So just wall up, you know, guard up, know that it's a possibility that it might happen. Sure enough, in the class, it went literally to the T. And that helped me because as the five students that were literally in my dream get called up, I'm literally sitting there going, what comes next is I'm going to get called out by that guy. And so I'm just going to wall up. I'm going to completely just basically shut down and not let anything hit me. Because in my dream, I reacted and that actually made it worse. And I was more humiliated in the class. I was made more fun of. I was told that I was even more disqualified to work with people in ministry because of it. So I just was like, I'm literally going to shut down and become just, you know, impenetrable. Like, it's just not going to impact me. I'm not going to care. And sure enough, the guy called on me and the teacher just like, la, 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 just had his ego trip. And I just like, I literally just had my mask, had my wall, and it just didn't even impact me. And I didn't even have the reaction. I wish I could go back and say what I feel nowadays. But in my early 20s, I was only like 20, 21 years old at the time. So very young. It still hurt and it still was traumatic and humiliating, but it didn't hit me. It didn't impact me and devastate me the way that it did in my dream. And so I was so grateful for that. I was so grateful for that protection that God, Source, Spirit, Universe, Holy Spirit was giving me, because if I hadn't had that, that would have really changed things. I might have even completely quit that day. You know, that could have made me tap out of being in service to people. It could have made me a very bitter person. And I honestly struggled with that regardless, but I know that I was saved by that. And so since those kind of moments of learning that, like, okay, this is how I'm communicated with. I get dreams, I get body sensations, although those I haven't been able to tune into as well. And I'm learning that in this season, but it's been interesting to kind of like hold space for what might be happening, not knowing whether or not like that exact thing is going to happen. Cause I've also had dreams happen in part and be like a different outcome, or maybe details are different, but it like the same archetype or, you know, kind of overarching theme, you know, took place. So I've kind of learned to like navigate through that of like, okay, it may not exactly happen exactly how it went in my dream. In that instance, it happened literally to the T, minus the way that I reacted, because I was ready for it. If I hadn't been ready for it, I probably would have reacted the same exact way that I reacted in my dream. Defensive, hurt, humiliated, you know, and showing all my cards, which definitely didn't need to happen in that kind of environment that was so unsafe to do that. So I've learned through that, but I've also learned about tools that growing up Christian were evil, like tarot, oracle cards, crystal ball, crystals in general, any like little, I have it where it's like a little pendulum, you know, gosh, I'm trying to think of anything else, even like burning sage, Palo Santo, working with the elements, working with essences. I just got a really cool flower essence from someone who's going to be on the podcast. You'll see her episode in the next couple months, Rachel White. She has flower essences from her company called Totem. You can look up her stuff. It's really great. But I've worked these things that it was very taboo for me, as it is for a lot of people, and have learned so much about the different tools that we can use and what is in alignment, what isn't, you know, and for everyone, it's different. So for some people I know that I work with, they really are led by like astrology, or they're really led by tarot or by oracle cards. And they pretty much use tarot on a daily basis to kind of give them the read for the day, you know, and how that works with their astrology for the day or the week. Some people, when getting into a situation or working out a problem, they'll go to meditation and they just kind of get intuitive downloads or hits, or they'll get one word, or they'll be shown kind of like a picture of something. Everyone is different and unique, and there's really an endless amount of like expressions or ways that we intuit from spirit. What I love is that we are all connected to spirit. We are all spirit. And so no one is disqualified or unable to intuit, to use their intuition, to have psychic downloads, to see things before they happen, to have that sight or that feeling, that premonition of something. Everyone has the ability to do that. Not one is better than the other. One thing that really got me in Christianity was speaking in tongues, or like we call it light language in spirituality. That was a part of like a lot of shame, a lot of feeling not enough or less than, like half a Christian, because some people really had a hard time with getting their prayer language. And because it was kind of told like everybody can do this, and if you don't, you're not truly filled by the Spirit, it really was like such a downer for people that really struggled with that and just wasn't coming so easy to them. And I always felt a little guilty having had it since I was very young, because I got my prayer language, I think, when I was either 6 or 7, somewhere around there. And it was because I heard my mom speaking and I was like, what is that? That's a That's not English. I don't know what you're saying, but you're speaking, you know, like I can tell it's a language, but it's not English. What is that? And she was like, oh, this is my prayer language. It's my secret prayer to God. You know, nobody knows what I'm saying but God. And so I was like, well, sign me up. You know, like I have lots to say, you know, lots of the unknown things to say to God that are private and secret. I like that. I like the mystery. And I immediately got it just because I had no blocks of like what was possible or even like an expectation of what I would sound like, you know, or anything like that. And no judgment either. Like if it was clicking, like I didn't care, you know, I didn't care what it sounded like. I didn't care what it looked like. I just wanted it. And so with that childlikeness, you know, of like no filter, it was easy, but I felt really bad for people that were really struggling with it and then felt the way that they felt. And so that is something that I never want anyone to feel, like any one of my clients, anyone listening. If you have felt kind of inadequate, disqualified, or not enough because you're not able to tap into some sort of gift or ability, you know, channeling, like all the things, like it's so important for us to release expectations and to release requirements. Of, like, I have to do this, I have to do that. Like, well, they all do this and I want to belong. So I need to start doing that because I see a lot of people that kind of fake it and they're not really actually connected with that ability or that gift. They're just doing it because they really want to be accepted and they want to belong. And also, they just maybe even just want the gift. And yet, it may not be something that they're meant to be exercising or working with right now. So some people are really uncomfortable with tarot or crystals or crystal balls. And that's something that is just kind of written in them that it's like, ooh, that's evil. And so a lot of people are not open to that. And that is okay. There's no judgment on that. And if something doesn't resonate with you, it's totally fine. It may or may not. But I think what's really just a super good guide to use is what excites you, what lights you up. What gives you like the good vibes, go with that. And it may be that you never experience something, or it may be that you experience that later, or it's just around the corner for you to step into that type of intuition or that gift or ability. But I think it's really important to just be in your lane, be where you are, and to not feel like you need to achieve, right? The ability to blah, blah, blah. We all have an intuition. We all have the ability to be psychic or intuitive. You may not have like the title, but it's totally okay. I think one thing that I see too, that's another tool that I work with that I was like, I want to learn basically what I've done my whole life in Christianity. I want to learn this way. And it's with Reiki. Reiki is such a cool energetic healing tool where you're really attuning and aligning and healing and cleansing and shifting energy. And all my life, I've done that just in a Christian box and frame. But in Reiki, it's very rare that you put your hands like directly on the person. Usually you hover your hands. And I actually prefer that because I want people to feel the energy shifting instead of my hands literally on them. Because a lot of times they will actually feel my hand on them and I'll say, peek open your eyes. I'm not even touching you. That's just energy. And they go, wow, that's crazy. You know, like, yeah, we're so energetically, you know, connected and we have an energy body, you know, that you can feel. And so that's always fun to share that with people, share that with my clients. But one of the things that I saw is just everyone becoming a Reiki master. And when I did my attunement for Reiki level one and then Reiki level two. It was for the practitioner because that's all I wanted to be was just a practitioner. I didn't need to be a Reiki master because I just didn't feel at the time called to attune people to Reiki level one and Reiki level two. I just felt like I want to have, you know, this healing tool in my pocket along with all my other tools to help people heal and, you know, shift things. But what I was seeing in the community was people were using the title Reiki Master just for the title, whether for marketing purposes or because it sounds cool, Reiki Master, you know, and it was like, woo, you know, this cool thing. And they're like, what level are you? I'm like, I'm Reiki level two. I'm a practitioner. And they're like, oh, cool. Yeah. But I just noticed there was kind of this like, because of the title, right? It's more of like, I've achieved this level, the highest level of Reiki. And again, no judgment to those people. They're on their own journey and that's fine. All that to say, that's one of the pitfalls that we can experience when we come into these gifts and abilities. And I saw the same thing in Christianity when it came to the gifts of the Spirit. That's something that's in the New Testament that's talked about, where you can operate in these different kind of gifts. And a lot of people would be like, oh, I operate in all of them, you know, and they would just, like, in ministry school, it was like, I'm called to the fivefold ministry, which I won't even explain, but it's basically, I'm called to all of it. I'm the master of all. It's the same thing, different costume. And they'd be like, I operate in all the gifts of the Spirit. And it's just like, oh yeah, cool. I mean, I haven't, like, really taken the time to look at whether or not I operate in all the gifts or not. And I mean, I guess I could be called to the all five folds of the ministry, Christian ministry, calling, purpose, but it's not something I'm really big on. You know, it's just not something I care about. Like, I'm just going to do me and be there. And not that I haven't fallen in the pitfall of needing to achieve or have titles, for sure. But I've seen the ick factor and also the distraction that has happened because that person is not fully able to operate out of, like, their own empowerment and own authenticity. It's like another way to outsource your power to a title. And that's a problem if you're just constantly needing to climb the ladder, so to speak, in the spiritual community or religious community. It doesn't really matter. Instead of just being you. Instead of just operating out of whatever gifts are needed in this moment in time. And I think that's something that I find so beautiful with my clients, is I really just kind of am like, hey, I have all of this. So let's see, what do you need? What is most beneficial to you right now? Who gives a hoot? You know, what my title is, what my achievements are, like, who cares? What do you need? You know, how do you need me to show up as your, you know, spiritual guide, somebody that you're working with, that you're submitting yourself to, which is a huge honor and responsibility. So how can I best support you? And I think when we do that, even just for ourselves, how can I best support myself? What is needed right now for me? I think that is the question we should be asking, not like, what title can I have? What gift can I put in my tool belt so that I feel better about myself, or I feel more important or more connected or more powerful, you know, more influential. It's all of those things. I think also another component of this that I want to just mention and talk about too, and just pivot slightly from this, you know, subtopic, is the topic of testing everything that you get intuitively. I think it's really important to sit on things. I have a phrase that I use of, like, I'm going to table that. And that for me means I'm going to sit on it. I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to let that sit and simmer for a little bit longer, because it's going to change into something eventually, or it's going to remain the same. So I'm going to see how this is going to work out in the wash. I'm using all these different phrases for the same thing, but I'm going to see how this pans out. I'm going to see how this unfolds, because I'm getting an intuitive hit. And although I trust that, I also know, and it's wisdom to know, that not everything ends up happening exactly how I see it or hear it or feel it. And I may be picking up on energy, but that could also be coming from a lot of different sources and places. So I really need to sit on it and get clarity. And that's where I kind of go inwards. I'm not quick to share things with people. Even my best friends, sometimes I'll kind of say, hey, I'm feeling this, but I could be off. I kind of state that, like, I'm picking up on something, but I don't know. I need to sit on that. And I'll say it, because I take responsibility with the things that I do share, whether on this platform or individually with people, including my clients. And I give that disclaimer for every client. I could be hearing something, but that could be me. It could be for me. It could be for you. It could be for someone else. It could be your energy I'm picking up on. It could be someone else's energy I'm picking up on. I don't know. And so a lot of times I invite my clients to say, okay, this is what I'm picking up on. How does that land with you? Does that resonate, or is it falling flat? How do you feel about that? Let that sit, let that marinate. Let's see what happens there. And a lot of times it resonates, and a lot of times sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they're like, huh, no, I don't feel any particular way about that. And so I'm like, that's cool. Or maybe it's something that I was getting of, like, you know, ancestor wise or maybe a dynamic in their relationship or family. And they're like, no, that's not present. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, that helps, you know, one less thing. So I don't really take it as though a failure or I'm not able to hear. It's just that it is very dynamic. It's not super black and white. A lot of what we get in is in part. It's not the full picture. And so although I've been able to say, hey, your right side table, top drawer, I'm seeing an object in there that is round and I'm seeing it and it's a white color. You want to go get that real quick? And they're like, holy crap. And they've even forgotten that they have it in there. And I'm like, where'd you get that from? And they're like, oh my God, this person gave it to me. And I'm like, cool. Well, there's an attachment there that isn't good energetically. So you need to energetically cleanse that. You know, you don't have to toss it. You can cleanse it, but just know that that's there. And that's why you're not sleeping, you know, and different things like that. I've had things where I've said, hey, there's something in your trunk. That's why your tire keeps going flat. You know, they'll tell me, gosh, it's just so annoying. Keep having a flat tire. And I'm like, there's something in your trunk. Go look in your trunk. They'll go look in the trunk. Sure enough, there's something there that energetically holds something that is just negative or karmic or something like that. I can't necessarily explain it. I just know what I see. I know what I feel. And so a lot of times there's that, or it'll even be on the positive side that there's a plant that wants to offer something more to somebody in their house and their plant wants to move into a different room to be more present with them. I mean, I've gotten all different kinds of things that have helped to shift things in the house or shift things in the home. I've done home cleansings virtually and in person and been able to literally stand in a place where someone's partner passed away. And I'm like, something's here. There's a open heaven here. And they're like, you're standing in the exact same place that my husband literally passed away. And I'm like, got it. Cool. That, wow. Okay. Like, yeah, that makes sense. That's what I'm picking up on, you know? And so I've had different things like that, y'all, but sometimes I'm off, or sometimes it's not that, or maybe it's not that now. And I'm picking up on something in the future, or I'm picking up on information from the past that hasn't been revealed to somebody yet. So I just say, like, it's really important when you're using any gift, any ability, any tool, whether for yourself or for someone else, to just really remain open and pliable and flow. Like flow. And you don't need to identify with anything. You don't need to identify with a title, with a gift, with a word that you have, with an intuition hit, with a psychic hit. You don't need to identify, attach to it, attach to the outcome of whether you're right or wrong or off or on. It doesn't matter. I think as we grow our abilities and as you connect with whatever that tool or that gift or ability is, it's so important to de-identify, disassociate in a way while taking full responsibility for it. And that's my biggest wisdom hit for you as you navigate, you know, your abilities and your gifts and using them and walking in them and sharing them with others, is just also if you feel really uncomfortable or really nervous, is just stating, like, I may not get this right, but I'm just going to be open to what I receive. And I invite you to also not feel like you have to tell me that that is something, that I am right, or that I'm getting it right, or that I'm on, or that is something that's resonating or applicable to you. Let me know if that doesn't resonate or if it does. Either way, it's totally fine. We're going to walk through this together to get clarity and insight and understanding. That is what is most important, right? Is that something happens that brings that clarity, that provides support for yourself or for someone else. And so as you're on that journey, just give yourself that room. Give yourself that room to discover and grow and not get it right and get it right, you know, because it's always going to be up and down and all around. And some things may not make sense immediately, but later, couple days later, a week later, oh my gosh, you're like, oh my gosh, I totally saw that. And you know, and it'll be like this really cool aha moment. But it's really hard when you get hung up on things, you identify with things, or things aren't going exactly how you expected. And then to go into that whole cycle of shame, disqualification, not enoughness, unworthiness, am I actually connected? You know, starting to question your abilities, your natural God-given spirit indwelling in you abilities to connect with your own intuition and to into energy and spirit beyond your own energy and soul, you know, but just hold loosely to everything and really sit in it and let it marinate. That's one of the best parts, and see how it unfolds. It's part of the funness of like the mystery, you know, of the spirit, and really honoring that time of trust. You know, it does require trust to hold that space of the mystery and allowing spirit to continue to confirm things, breadcrumbs, you know, that type of stuff, and just to kind of follow and go, oh yep, nope, gonna backpedal, that wasn't right. I just did that in a current situation. I was full on in, it ended up not being right for me. I just kind of like backpedaled out. I was like, okay, no, that's not for me. So I'm going to pivot and I'm going to go elsewhere, right? I'm going to discover the next thing. I'm going to continue to adventure around in this life. I mean, that's what this is all about. That's what this human earth experience is about, is to journey and adventure and be okay with the process and the journey. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is right necessarily. You know, it's literally just no part of your journey is bad, you know, or marks you as a failure or disqualifies you in any way. Whether it's you're climbing a mountain or you're descending a mountain, whether you're standing on the mountaintop, you know, for a while, it doesn't matter. Every journey is sacred. Your journey in discovering your gifts and abilities is also sacred. So comparison, nah, no comparison. You are you, and you are your own frequency. You are your own individual expression of spirit, of God. And so honor that expression. It's sovereign, it's divine. And just because you're navigating and experiencing and working things out doesn't make you any less than. So I just wanted to encourage you guys with that. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to join a healing circle or I Am Healed program, or you want to work with me individually, I'm down to support you and I'm so honored to work with you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope it was encouraging and inspiring to you. Thanks for letting me share all the things with you. I love you guys. I'll see you next time.